Glad we made it here safely. The van's not always the most reliable, but the Lord's hand is always on us whenever we're traveling. So thankful to be here. We just go ahead and just get into the slideshow, show you a little bit about what's been going on. This past week, the freshmen moved in, welcome week, outreach. So what that kind of looks like is just going out and trying to get involved and in touch with the freshmen that are moving in, and just pour into them before they get involved in the world or other Greek life or just anything else that can distract them from their faith. So we can go to the very first one. I thought other way. There we go. So that's just a sketch of our ministry house that one of the architecture students drew. That's also what we put on our t-shirts for the year. So it's just cool to see whenever we're out on outreach this week and throughout the year. Everybody can see the house and recognize it with the ministry and the students within it. Thank you. That's just our theme verse, and everything that we do or are involved in on campus is just we try to embrace that goal of John 17:3, when Jesus is praying. And he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. And so we can go on and see that MBSF is just a community of Christians at Oklahoma State striving to embrace the prayer of Jesus, that they may know God and the gift of eternal life. Amen. So there's just a list of activities that we try to do throughout the week and throughout the year, of course. On-campus evangelism kind of varies semester to semester on whatever student schedules are, when we can get the most students to come and try to get involved. So Z groups is what we call Zoe groups. Zoe is one of the Greek words for life. Transcendent, spiritual, eternal life. So that's just discipleship groups. Those are kind of like what Brother Isaac was saying, as you guys may associate with D groups, 3 to 5, 6 students, maybe just getting together and going through scriptures throughout the week on their own time, and then coming together and discussing about it and sharing struggles or accountability and just praises all together. Friday morning prayer, we get together at the ministry house, 7 a.m. every Friday, and just kind of like the same thing on repeat, just with a different group of students. Probably break up in groups of 3 or 4, depending on who all shows up, and just talk a little bit about what's been going on throughout the week, how we can pray for each other, and also just pray for the lost that maybe we evangelize to on campus that week, and just maybe some like upcoming events like outreach would be something that we would definitely try to pray for during those times. Discipleship can vary from group discipleship, just initiated by one of the leaders, or also one-on-one discipleship, just someone coming to us and seeking that one-on-one, deeper, intimate relationship with, trying to learn about who God is, or maybe what Jesus did for them on the cross, and doesn't feel comfortable in a group setting, so just meeting with them one-on-one, answering questions. ISF is what we call International Student Fellowship. So about a fifth of the student population at OSU is international students, so which is pretty good percentage based off a D1 campus, I think. So we definitely would be not doing justice not having a ministry for that. So ISF meets on Friday nights at 7 o'clock at the ministry house, and that's, we've definitely seen lots of fruit from that ministry. Church visits like this, and we were at Broken Arrow last night at Florence Street at their missions conference, and be at Landmark in Vianne tonight, and just going out and bringing students along, great time of fellowship together and just growing closer together, and just having fun along the way, staying safe. this was this past weekend in Broken Bow, where Hochtown, the leaders went with Brother Adam, and then you can see the gentleman up holding the other phone is Brother Ryan. He went with us on Operation X to the Pacific Northwest last summer, if you recall, and his wife and son went with us, and Brother Adam and a couple of his kids, and then a couple of leaders, Josiah and Sierra, are here with us, and then our Brother Brennan wasn't able to make it at the last minute, but just planning for the next semester, and went on a hike down to the river. Beautiful, just seeing all the way that the Lord is creative in not just us, but also in nature. So this was on Wednesday. We started about 8 a.m., moving students into the Stout Hall, which is just an honors dorm, also cheap. But a group of us there, we moved students in about 8 to 12, and then we broke for lunch and came back for a couple more hours. And so it was nice and hot whenever we came back. And but we did great. I was very pleased with how the just receptive all the students were, not just for believers or non-believers. They were interested, at least, in learning about what it was. Or their parents also. That's what kind of surprised me the most, parents being receptive. And so later on Wednesday, we just met on the library lawn for all the students that had been moved in, just getting out, trying to walk around the student union. So we played some games and just kind of laid back there. And some of the students, those students there, ended up having dinner with Josiah and Daniel at the ministry house. And so that was a great time to just pour into them the first day on campus. This was Thursday. We tabled a lot of the time. We moved people in for a couple hours, but it was kind of slowed down in the morning, which I don't understand. But we started tabling whenever it got hot and gave out popsicles and water bottles to everybody moving around. And I think over the course of 3 days, we passed out 600 or 700 flyers for our pancake breakfast yesterday morning and also for Tuesday nights. So, like I said, this was yesterday morning at the house. Had a pretty good number of students come out, and some of them with Christian background, some of them not, just come out for the food. But Josiah got up there and gave them a little message about who MBSF is and what we're about, and John 17:3, and nothing is of our own accord, but that we just strive for the people on campus and the people that we come into contact with to know the only true God in Jesus Christ. So it was a great time. Of course, we were exhausted by the end of it, but we ended up having a really good conversation. Me, Adam, and Ryan, and another man met Gianni from tabling on Thursday. He came to the pancake breakfast. He was the last one to get there because he had to get him a bike from the repo bike auction. And so he came late, and he was the last one to leave. We got into a conversation with him. He grew up Catholic, and just trying to kind of just differentiate and separate the truth from the falseness and sifting the wheat. So it was great just to see from where he started at the beginning of the conversation to how receptive and just understanding who was by the end, like seeing how it all played out, and the Spirit was definitely working in him. So I just ask you to pray for Gianni as we continue to pour into him. So Tuesday nights, this is what we do. We just meet at the house. Weather permitting, we're outside. Weather not permitting, we cram in there. But we just have a meal at the beginning, and then we go into some worship, a few songs, and then one of us leaders will get up and share a message. This semester we'll be going through John, or a whole year actually, Lord willing. And so we'll be going through John, and then we like to break up into small groups after the lesson's over just to dive into the word a little bit deeper, about 10 students per group at max. So we've seen a lot of students be very thankful for the small groups and just ability to talk it out more rather than just have the lesson and then separating and then be left with more questions. So this is our discipleship or Z groups. You can meet in the house, meet at coffee shops, meet in other people's students' houses. And then, like the girls on the bottom, just part of that discipleship group that meets on their own, not part of the Z group, but taking the initiative to meet together with one another and dive into the Word deeper. So we're very thankful for just students willing to get together throughout the week or interweek. Oh, going back to the Z groups, so there's material based. We try to stay accountable, but also just make sure everybody's on the same wavelength of scripture that we're talking about. ISF, there we go. Not just meeting at the house and having a meal and games and a lesson, but also just going out and doing life together on a Brahms run, just pouring into the students, letting them see different aspects of what a true Christian is, not just pour in and forget about you till next Friday. But and there's obviously different nationalities and ethnicities and different really religious backgrounds that come on Friday nights. So we're just very thankful for God to continue to work on their hearts and just continue to bring in more students, of course. Having a presence on campus, like you see in the big picture there, that's in the student union, not even going out to do evangelism or street preaching, just making our presence known there as a ministry and other students listening in and hopefully having edifying speech and showing that just because we're a group of friends doesn't mean that we have to put each other down or have unfruitful conversation, but just edifying and uplifting conversation with things that actually matter, eternal conversation, not having our sights on things here on earth. And then that's our Thanksgiving dinner bash. I don't know what to call it, but we had a great turnout there. Our intramurals, kind of like the same thing as the outreach, just or not the outreach, the student gatherings, just having a presence there in the football especially, getting able to pray with the other team after a win or loss, and just it's a blessing to see that it's not just lost students all over, but a couple games that we play, you know, they're part of a different campus ministry out there, or students are involved in other ministries or faithful believers. So that's been good to see throughout the few years. Baptisms was a big thing this past spring semester. We had several students come forward, a few of them with us, and professions of faith, and just following that up in baptisms. The trough is there at MBSF, and then, of course, some students wanted to get baptized at Grace, so we're just thankful for their boldness in following and obeying the Bible and their faith. Our fall retreat, just a great way to get students back away from the atmosphere of college and get connected with us mainly, just diving deep into fellowship together. So that's at Cedar Hills last year, but this year, in a couple weeks, we'll be going to Lake Salina. One of our former students has a lake house there, and so we're going to try to cram 30 students minimum, hopefully. Hopefully we can pack it out more. But that's something we always look forward to in the fall, just to get acquainted with the freshmen and new students all around and get acquainted with us, of course. Our ministry needs, continue prayers for boldness on campus. We obviously going into it hot and heavy in welcome week, but pray that we would just be sustaining in our eagerness to share and bring the lost into us and pour it back into them. Like I said, praying for the non-believers' interest, and we just pray that the seeds that we planted would fall on fertile soil and they would receive it with gladness. Prayers for our first Tuesday night, even returning students and new students, of course, praising that they are coming back, but just pray for them to be fed the bread that they need and that we can minister to them as they desire. That's our picture from the first Tuesday night of last year, so hopefully whenever we come back we can maybe have kids up on the MBSF sign, but I wouldn't trust the architecture. So there's a little bit about MBSF, what we've been going on, and just we're growing, and we graduated a big class of seniors, so a lot of young people stepping up. Like, besides me and the other two leaders, they're all sophomores here with us, so that's just encouraging to see them jumping and staying right in with us and being faithful in their service. They were with us all week. It was hot, and I think we pushed them pretty good. So if they stay awake during the sermon, that'll be another praise. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John 12 with me. So not even in relation to going through John with MBSF this year, I was just reading John on my own. And I come across this passage a couple weeks ago, and it just kind of stuck with me, convicted me, and whenever I was praying about what to preach here, I was bouncing around a few different ideas, but, you know, sometimes you just can't get it out of your head, and you always come back to it, and so I settled on John 12 and verse 27, and Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and steadfast love that you show to us continuously. Pray that you would just be with us here today, Lord. Bring your spirit upon us and just convict us of sin in our lives. And just give me the words to preach and that I would speak it with truth and gladness. And, Lord, that you would just reveal things to us. And we do it all for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So, try to give you best background information that I can. The Passover is coming up, which also brings the crucifixion, and kind of like, I guess, maybe I should have came last week, but school was coming up, and so all the students thinking that it's coming up and knowing that summer's ending, and just like Jesus, his earthly ministry was ending in his manifestation of the body here, and you know it's coming, and you go, but you're still wrestling, and know how to feel, but your soul is troubled. Jesus knew that he was going back to the right hand of the throne of God. There's still a long and hard road that laid before him. And we see in John 17, if you're familiar with Jesus' prayer, he says that Jesus and the Father are one. In verse 11, says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Then also in verse 23, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou as thou hast loved me. So Jesus knows what's coming because he must be lifted up in order to fulfill the prophecies and for us to be reconciled unto him. And this is why his soul is troubled or restless. The day is very near, and he's saying, what do I do? Do I leave when it gets tough, when it's time to finish the work that he came to this world to do, to save him from this hour? But for this hour is why he came. He says, no. He knew the weight of the cross and how much it would cost him, but he loved us so much and in such a way that he stayed and finished the work that he started and that he came to do. He wanted a relationship with us and with me and you. He stayed and he suffered. He wanted us to have eternal life, like we're about in John 17:3. He bore our iniquities. And so I ask you the question, what is eternal life? Eternal life is that they may know the only true God, and they may know Jesus Christ, whom the only true God has sent. Eternal life is not whenever we get to heaven or whenever we pass away from this life, but eternal life starts now. Eternal life is when we accept Christ and put our faith in him and knowing who Jesus and only true God is. We see in John 18, verse 11, when Peter cuts the ear of the servant of the high priest, that Jesus tells him to put his sword away, saying, shouldn't I drink the cup the Father has given me? He didn't have to drink it, but he did for you, so he can have a relationship with us all and all that believe. You can have eternal life. And in all throughout John, whenever Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he's telling them, I tell you these things, not for my sake, but for your sake, so that your joy may be full, and that you can have peace whenever I leave, and whenever the Holy Spirit comes unto you, whenever I return to the Father, that you may have peace, and that you can remember the things that I told you before while I was here. John 18:37. Flipping a lot through John. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. His purpose in being born and in the world was to bear witness to the truth. And the truth is God. And if we look at back at John 1, the only true God, or in John 17. I know, listening to Brother Isaac week in and week out, he's a master of the Greek. And if we look at John 17:3, or even knowing John 17:3, says that they might know the, and that word know there is gnosko, which is an experiential knowledge gained by being with a person. Gnosko. It's not the same as just a knowledge of facts or a knowledge of reciting facts. Not the same as knowing that Jesus saves, but experiencing God saving us. Eternal life being life unto the age, a life that's freed through God's presence and relationship. Something that I heard whenever I was at a camp this year was, don't wait until the end of your life to test the character of what you're trusting in. And so I think that can resonate with all of us, in whether we're trusting in our job or money, or maybe like the Pharisees back in the day, trusting in our religion more than our relationship with Christ. And realizing that whenever we go through hard times, and that we maybe like Elijah and the false gods back in the day, they call upon him to consume the sacrifice, but they tested their gods and they failed, left them out to dry because they were false. And whenever Elijah called the consumed the fire altar, sacrifice and all. So John 12 saying that he came unto the hour. He came to seek and save those that are lost. He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came to heal the brokenhearted, defeat death, sin, hell, and the grave. Conquered the devil through submission. Jesus came to give eternal life. He came to expose the darkness and shine the light. Came to fulfill the prophecies, the Old Testament, and give us joy and peace and love. I know that you know these facts and have a knowledge of these facts, but do you have a ganasco type of know and experiencing that saving, and there's no condemnation in us if we believe, knowing that we can conquer death through our submission to Christ. We feel that joy and peace and love. So my question is just, have you experienced it? And if not, then there's no better time than now. Especially for students or anybody getting back into the summer ending. Busy times, teachers, students, or anything. Maybe you got a new job, but moving, anything that causes stress. But I'll tell you what takes away stress: reading the Beatitudes or any part of God's Word, and just knowing that there's, like Brother Isaac said, the Christian life is not difficult; it's impossible. And so, knowing that we can't do it on our own, and not trusting in ourselves to do it on our own, but trusting that whenever we call upon the name of the Lord, like we talked about this morning, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And
we always want to give you an opportunity to respond, so I'm going to ask the musicians to come. I'm not a master of the Greek, but I can read definitions just like you. And the question is this: do you know, or do you know? Do you have this knowledge in your mind because you've heard it, or do you experientially know Christ through faith? You personally know him. And that's the question. And the reality is, you could have been in this church for 40 years and not know him. And we want to make sure that you have that responsibility. But here's the deal. I know most of you do know him. Most of you have trusted in him. Most of you know him experientially. He is your Savior. He's not just God. He's your God. He's not just the shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's not just the Savior. He's my Savior. But so either that's you today, or you need to trust in him. But if that is you today, then you need to live to make him known. And we ought to have a passion for the lost. I'm thankful for the outreach emphasis of this ministry, that they're constantly working, not only just to preach the gospel, but to disciple people. Amen. To see people become followers of Jesus, because that's what he said. To the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples. And that's the goal, to make disciples who make disciples. So wherever you're at today, whatever your heart, whatever's going on, maybe you need to trust him, to know him, or maybe you need to make a commitment, ask God to help you to make him known. Whatever it is, you respond in faith as we sing.
Page 530.